Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo! It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. I don't even know what to do with the Yos anymore. I mean, what do? You get no hit on Friday, Jack. No hit. They got no hit on Friday.
Wow.
Then they bounced back Saturday, and it's like, what a win. After you get no hit the other day, you come out slow, there's no offense, and you find a way to win a baseball game. And then Sunday happens. How you doing, pal?
Let me just address the no-hitter.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
No.
There's nothing to worry about. That... We'll let the Phils get hot.
No. My statement on the no-hitter is that that was not a no-hitter. Like, that was the way that they acted and celebrated. That was not an accomplishment. I didn't like, I respect pitching. You know that. I will respect anything pitching related that I value as true greatness. There was no true greatness to what the Mets did on Friday night.
Wow, and shots like, at the pitching.
Well, no,
guy.
But to see like, why is McGill's parents in tears? He pitched 6 innings.
I think he pitched 5, didn't he?
Whatever. Like, what are you? He didn't throw a no hitter. Like, the Mets, dude. Congrats.
No, but the Mets did.
Congrats
Mets did.
On your little combined no hitter. It was You walked 6 people. There was nothing impressive. They threw 159 pitches. Like, I spare me the no hitter talk. I don't.
Well,
care.
I
don't care. They got no hit or whatever. Quote unquote. I don't care. They got quote unquote no hit.
I don't care that much either. Like, to your point, Zach Wheeler's one hit game on Roy Halladay Day is 1,000 times a better start than, or outing, so to speak, than what the Mets did the other night. So I get your point, but at the same time, like, they got no hit, man.
I know.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm bummed. I don't know what to do with the yo, by the way. I feel like I'm all like, what do I do? I mean, how do I respond to this? I feel like I'm deep into the yo having to mimic where we're at, and this is just because I'm not freaking out. Like, it's just a series against the Mets. It's May 2nd. Like, far from concern time, far from freak out time. But, you know, after our 4-game sweep, after we're feeling good, it's just like, you know, a little bit of a letdown, Jack.
Yeah, it is. And it's frustrating, too, from the standpoint of, like, the Mets look like a good baseball team. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
They look legit.
Yeah, and they definitely do. And, sure, could the Mets still mess this thing up? We know they can. And I guess the thing that's frustrating for me, like, I still feel good about the team. Like, I think they're both top – personally, I think they're both top 10 in offense and pitching. So, like, I think that they'll be okay as the season goes along here. I guess the thing that's frustrating a little bit for me is that – they just don't look like a tough team. Like, they don't look like a team that's gonna grit and grind their way through a game if they're not hitting the ball at a ballpark. Like, you know, I just feel like other teams are much better at, you know, capitalizing, and they're not, you know, when everything's going great, they're very front runny, this baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get behind, I feel like they kind of fold. And, you know, it was good to see Schwarber on Saturday have the big homer to give him the lead. And it's like, all right, like that's what we need. Like, we need more guys like Schwarber who...
I mean, he tried it on Sunday, yeah, too. He did everything he could. I mean, it wasn't his fault. That second homer, we texted each other. Like, the homer from his knee is one of the all-time, how the hell did that guy hit that ball out of the park there type of home runs. It was like... I thought it was a pop out,
yep,
like the way it looked, and it just goes, like the strength that man.
Well,
has.
Especially in the dead ball era, which we are currently
true
in.
That's true. He's like home run Baker out there.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just like I don't see a tough baseball team. I don't, like, when things are going wrong, like you can kind of see it on their faces. And what's annoying about that is that like it's gonna be a. Things go wrong in a baseball season. There's so yep many things that go wrong. Like, you have to have some resiliency.
Over a long stretch of time. It's a really long freaking season. Resiliency is everything, Jack.
Yeah, so it just... I'm not freaking out about where the team's at. They're one game under 500. The Mets are good. They lost a series in New York. Like, that's... It's gonna happen. It's just... I don't see a very tough baseball team. I you know, and maybe it's just a trickle down effect from their manager.
Oh, you think?
Which it definitely could be. And you know, I don't think what happened in the ninth inning was on purpose. I think Schwarber, they definitely threw at him.
It doesn't matter.
That's
it doesn't matter. I'm sorry to jump in on you, but like, this team is a Joe Girardi baseball team. You know, that's what we've seen the last 3 years. This guy's the worst. Like, I don't even know if his heart beats. Does he have a pulse, Jack? Like, seriously, I keep thinking of like moments when they, like a movie. Like, if you're in the diner in Pulp Fiction, it's any Tim Roth gets on the table, it's like, "Any up, you bleeping pricks!" And like, shot to Joe Girardi sitting there looking at his binder, like not even paying attention, no idea what's going on. It's like a war could be breaking out around him. And it's like he has nothing going on. He's just sitting there looking at his dumb binder with zero life. They hit Boehm in that spot. First of all, how is it not thrown out of the game? The ump issued warnings. Like, I don't know what the hell that was. But the fact that after the Schwarber thing and that they issue warnings and there's feistiness and all that, that Boehm gets hit in the back, slams his bat on the ground, and Joe Girardi doesn't come out of the dugout? He doesn't even look like he even knows what's happening, Jack. Like, I wanted to fire him on the spot. And I know we've said fire Girardi, we're out on Girardi. Like, if I would have fired him on the bleeping spot, I almost cursed there. Like, that was as close as I come on the IO spot when I actually curse, we have to leave it out.
Like, well, except for last podcast where...
I'm living. I forgot you did.
Yeah, well, listen, I'll let you get back to your rant, but can you please tell everyone that's listening right now that I've never cursed in my entire life, and that
I
was
never,
the first time...
I didn't even notice that you did. Are you sure it was a curse? Like, I didn't even notice it. I think it might have just been taken out of context.
What you did was ruin my golden reputation to the listeners of this podcast.
Hey, at least you have a golden reputation. Joe Girardi had a golden reputation coming here, and it's the most BS. I mean, Jack, do you know how much it pains me? Do you know how painful it is to watch Buck Showalter on one side and Joe Girardi on the other and sit there and go, man, I wish Buck Showalter were our manager? Do you know how much that hurts to say that? Like, 3 years ago, both guys were available. I would have, if they had hired Showalter over Girardi, I would have lost my mind. We would have done a podcast where we're apoplectic about it. Like, Buck Showalter is 1,000 times better than Girardi. I would take him 1,000 times. At least the dude has some freaking life. Girardi is the biggest problem with this team, Jack. I honestly believe that. I think the in-game stuff, we've killed him for a lot, but I think that him as the front man of this team, him as the guy that they go to, the guy who's their, you know, their skip, I think he infuses zero life into this team. And I think he even goes so far as to infuse a feeling of like, whatever.
Yeah, well, and that's the annoying part. Is like, how do you think, I just don't know how, and I genuinely don't have the answer. But
fire Joe Girardi, well, I think, is the answer.
Right, but like, if you're a player and you see what happens in the ninth, or you're Alec Boehm this morning, are you saying, man, you know, Girardi's got my back. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, he said after the game, yeah, I didn't think he threw it at him on purpose. Like, who cares? Like,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter when a batter or two before was intentionally being thrown at. Like, Schwarber was being thrown at. So I don't,
no question.
I don't care if you don't think that Bohm was hit on purpose. He was hit on purpose. He was hit with a baseball after your guy that hit two home runs earlier in the game was just intentionally thrown at. Like, go out there and at least stand up for your team. I mean, this is the second time this happened. Last Sunday with the hater thing, barely even gets out there to put up a fight against Kyle Schwarber. Like, honestly, James, I want Kyle Schwarber to be the manager of this team. Like, at least, like, I see him in the dugout. He looks pissed. He looks into it. He's hitting dingers now, so we're back. And it's just like that. That's a guy that gets it. And every time I see Girardi, it's just like, dude, if you don't want to be here, then go home. Like, we've been through too much crap here. We've been through too much. This is the last 11 years. We have a $230 million payroll right now. Like, if you don't want to be here, then go home. And like, I'm sick of it, man. And like, I see, and listen, I think the Mets are embarrassing themselves with this whole like everyone's throwing at us thing. But you know what that is, James? That is Buck Showalter saying it's us against the world. And
that's exactly what it is, Jack. And he's creating that culture there, like where those guys fight for each other.
Well, and it's bringing that team closer together.
Yep,
and absolutely. And you know, we sit here oftentimes after disappointing Phillies stretches, and we keep saying, like, well, why don't they look like they care? Why don't they look like they're into games? Why do when they lose, they look so, like, depressed when they do it? And it's, like, just in the worst way possible. And we keep trying to figure out different ways. There seems to be one common denominator, and that is Joe Girardi. So, I don't want to be a blame-the-manager guy. But when it comes down to this, and it comes down to baseball, and it comes down to fighting for your guys, like, it's just to sit there and say, well, I don't think he did it on purpose. That's why I didn't really raise anything about it. It's like, dude, that's not the point. The point is you want those guys fighting for you, that you're their guy. You're their manager. You think Charlie Manuel wouldn't have gone out there and put up a fight for Alec Bohm? Like, that's what Charlie did. That's why those guys love them. I've never heard anyone say they like playing for Joe Girardi. And what happened in the ninth last night, it is a big deal. I'm just telling you, it's a big deal. And this is not this, well, you guys are just being, you know, manager Matt. It's not that. Like, that matters that he didn't go out there last night and stick up for Alec Bohm and stick up for the rest of his team and set the freaking tone for a team that's coming in here in 2 days. Like, the Mets are coming to town in 2 days. And I just don't, this team has consistently not looked ready for big moments, and that falls on 25.
100%. Like, I'm not a blame the manager guy either. We've come on this podcast many times and said, I don't think managers make that big a difference. But to your point and to what I'm trying to convey, it's not, look, if it were just the bad bullpen decisions and just the not having a great feel for when to pull his starters or, you know, who the best hitter is to put up at a spot or whatever, like, that stuff alone is annoying and frustrating. But, you know, if that were there, but he were Buck Showalter on the getting his guys fired up side, on the getting his guys to fight for each other side, and the letting his guys know that you have their back in any situation side, fine, I'd be able to deal with that stuff. But it's both. This, again, like, I honestly feel like he doesn't have a pulse, Jack. Like, that game last night, like, what happened in the ninth inning to me was way more important than losing the game. It was just a loss, like, not that big a deal. Girardi sitting on his ass as Bohm gets hit in the back and throws his bat down and is clearly angry and frustrated. And to your point, to what we talked about a week ago, when the exact same thing happens with Schwarber, and Schwarber is apoplectic, like losing his mind, got thrown out the second he started talking because he was so irate. And Girardi comes out and looks like he's having like a Sunday at morning. You see the guy at church conference. Hey, Angel, how you been? How the kids? Everything good? Okay, cool. I'll talk to you soon. Like, that's what it looked like. Like, where is the fire? Where is the passion? This guy is lifeless. It honestly feels like he's not even invested in these games. That's how I feel watching him as a manager. Like, and I know that's crazy, but that's how I feel. I feel like he is not even paying attention to the baseball game that he's managing. And this stuff has to seep through. Like, it has to matter. It has to be something where Your players take your cues. Your players take your lead. Like, you're in charge. You're running the freaking show. You're the field manager. A day-to-day basis, you're the guy who makes the calls. You're the guy who the team is supposed to pull their belief, their energy, all that stuff from. And this guy's a statue out there. Like, I'm as low on Joe Girardi as I've been the entire time he's been here, which is crazy because there have been some really low moments and some really disappointing moments, some September collapses with Joe Girardi baseball teams. Like, I think he has to get fired. Like, I would fire him right now, Jack. I know they're only a game under 500. Like, this team plays with no life. And then you talk about the road stuff, another road series they lose. It, something we've talked about, for years now, right? Like, this team can't seem to find a way to create their own energy on the road. Like, and their manager gives them nothing, Jack. Like, I'm done, man. I would fire him right now. I'd fire him today.
And
they
And I guess my thing is, like, you know, for the people that say, well, don't move on from him, whatever, like, what do you think's going to change? Like, it's been 225 plus games of Joe Girardi here, and they've looked basically the same. Like, there has to be, either you want to, here's where it boils down to. Either you want to blame the players, or you want to blame the guy, or you want to blame Joe Girardi. Is it the players that are creating this culture where they don't know how to win, or is it the manager? And the reality is these players aren't going anywhere. I mean, these guys are locked in. They've spent a lot of money. Like, the only guy at the end of this year they can move on from really is Segura. I mean, Segura's contract's up, which I don't like. I think Segura's a good player.
And Didi.
Didi, whatever. I know. And they could theoretically trade Hoskins if they want to put Bohm at first base. Yeah. Like, maybe that's it to shake the team up. But
that's not the root of this problem.
I don't think so. I mean, we don't know, but I don't think so. So if you're not going to move on from the players, it's got to start with Girardi. And I just don't – he is not – there's not been one stretch here where it's been like, yeah, he's doing a really good job. Like, he'll have one good game. Like, Saturday night was a good game. And honestly, it was more luck than anything. I mean, Alvarado getting out of the bases loaded jam.
It was luck. The same thing happened the next night, and it went the way we all thought it would.
Yes.
He got lucky is what happened.
Yeah. So, you know – I would love to push back, James, and say, you can't fire him yet. You can't fire him yet. And I know it's very early, but I just don't see anything changing here. And there seems to be a common denominator here where they come up small in big road series all the time. They don't seem like a mentally tough team. They don't seem like a team that can overcome adversity. And it's got to start with someone, and it's got to be Joe Girardi at this point.
Yeah, it has to. And again, we know they're not going to do it unless they struggle more and all that.
But as
we said many times too, like, to think that they won't do it, period, is silly. I mean, Dave Dombrowski had the opportunity to give this guy a new contract. He didn't. Dave Dombrowski did not hire him. Like, there are a lot of reasons to believe that the Phillies would move on for Girardi, but right now, I just don't think they're going to do it when they're game under. But the point being that it's not just that they're a game under. It's, to Jack's point, it's the sum of the 230 games or whatever that he's managed here in Philadelphia. To the point you just made, like, at no point in his entire – how many times have we had this exact conversation, right, about – and we don't say it this way anymore because obviously we've learned that this is what Joe Girardi is. But how many times do we have the conversation of, like, when they hired Joe Girardi, we thought we were getting this culture changer. This guy was going to come in and it was going to be a Joe Girardi baseball team. Like, this is how we do things. This is how blah, blah, blah. And we – like, it's been zero. It's been – to your point, there's been zero instances of that in 2+ years. At no point has this looked like a competent, functional, energetic, night in, night out baseball team.
Well, and
they don't even
play smart baseball. You know, they're not even. It's not like he's had them better fundamentally at anything. So, yeah, it's just. And the thing is that, I mean, he is a lame duck manager. Like, Dave Dombrowski has not picked up that option, so it's clear that that's something that they're at least thinking about. I mean, if they really believed in Joe Girardi, he would be under contract right now.
100%.
But I guess last thing here, it's just what I keep coming back to is he doesn't look like he wants to be here. And for a team that is trying to end an 11-year playoff drought, the history of baseball in this town, the $230 million payroll, it as a Phillies fan, you, I, everyone that listens to this podcast, if you don't want to be here, then leave. And I feel like he does not want to be here. As a fan, as someone that loves this team, watches every game, you feel the same way. Like, if you don't want to be here, then leave. Like, it's as simple as that. That's where my frustration lies. He doesn't look like he wants to be here. Like, I don't care about the time he puts into, like, splits on making the lineup up every day. Like, I don't care about that stuff. I care about in the ninth inning when you've had a disappointing series in New York, they just got done throwing at a guy that hit two home runs earlier in the game because they think that they've created the stupid idea that teams are targeting them even though they have two more hit by pitches than the Pirates. Are the Pirates creating this whole fuss? No, they're not. They're being a real baseball team, but they're creating something that is uniting a baseball team. And in 2.5 years, there has been no sign that Joe Girardi has any of that, that he has these players' backs. Alec Bohm gets hit. He is on a hot streak, slams his bat down, sits there, doesn't even raise his eyebrow to go out there. That's an embarrassment. It is. So if you don't want to be here, then go home. Go back to the MLB Network. I don't care anymore. You're not. There's nothing that he can do that makes me think, okay, he can come back next year. It's over. It's over. And I hope they go on a run. I hope they win. And I think they're still going to win 85 plus games, whatever. Like, I think they're going to turn this around. I feel good about the baseball team. I don't feel good about the manager. And as a fan, I sit here feeling like he doesn't want to be here. And that frustrates me.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to, again, like, it does feel like he doesn't have a pulse in these moments, in these games. It doesn't feel like he's locked in the same way we are, and certainly not the same way the players are. So, all right, let's move on to something else. That's enough Girardi talk. Look, not a thrilling 3 days. Why don't we do the pitching real quick, and then we'll get to the bats, because, you know, I think there's some good Schwarber to talk about. Uh-huh. Bad. We'll get there. We'll get there quickly. Just since, you know, since we last talked, we've seen 3 starts. We saw Gibby kind of run into a little trouble, but, you know, not horrible. We saw Nola, you know, not his worst outing, but a very similar, you know, Nola-esque type outing. And then we saw Eflin look just disastrous. You know, every time they gave him an opportunity, he would fritter it away. What was your thoughts on the starting pitching since last time?
Well, James, I'm here to say, didn't take much, but I believe in Aaron Nola again. I am in on old Knowles. I like where he's at. I don't think he pitched bad on Friday at all. And again, I'll take that start from Nola any day of the week. And I'm not saying I'm back in on Nola as a 1B or maybe a low end two. I'll say I'm back in on Knowles as a low end two. But I think there's more reasons for optimism with Aaron Nola than reasons for pessimism. I mean, he's really only been bad in one start this year. That's, I mean, yeah. Everything else has just been like, yeah, it's a little frustrating, but he pitched
some bad moments. It's like the Alonso homer the other night. Like, that's the homer that usually gets them killed that's annoying. Yes. Or like the opener where he pitches well enough and then runs into the problem and gives up 4 in that inning or whatever. It's like, but you know, the only really like horrible start he had was that time against Scherzer last time.
Yeah. So, but the new plan they have, and it kind of continued on Friday, it's this fastball up and then the curveball off that. And it's just a way better design. It's a way better plan of attack. It's way better from a tunneling perspective. And, you know, I think the days of Aaron Nola living at the bottom of the strike zone are pretty much over. And it's taken him a while to get here, James. I think he's been trying to do this for a while. But I think he's now figured it out. And that's good for this baseball team. I mean, do we still have to see a start? Like, for me, it comes down to, I just need to see him go down to Atlanta and pitch well. That's my next baseline for believing and being back in on Aaron Nola. Like, go down to Atlanta and pitch well. But in the time being, I think there's way more reasons for optimism rather than pessimism. And I think it's okay to buy back in on Aaron Nola being a good starting pitcher for this team.
I mean, even when you say that, it sounds like a potential for like...
Dude, I know. This gets cut and then...
Exactly. Like you walk through a door and then we get punched in the face type of thing.
Yes.
But look, I thought he looked really good. You know, and the swing and miss stuff has been there. For the most part, he's been good. It's funny. It feels like the Phillies have really not other than that first game in the Colorado one, they really have not scored any runs for him in his starts too until later. You know, the one, the Scherzer game, they were down like 9-1 and then they scored runs. That didn't count. But yeah, that's huge news. I mean, that could be a game changing type of thing, especially with Wheeler finally looking good in that last start and, you know, massive. Anything else stand out to you? Look, I mean, Gibby was Gibby. Not much to say there. You know,
Gibby was Gibby, baby. I love that sentence.
It's great. Gibby's Gibby. But Eflin, because we had a really encouraging start that last one with Eflin. You know, was it 6+ shutout or whatever? And then just a rough one.
Yeah, and that's what he is, though. I mean, I feel like one out of every five Eflin starts is what we got last night. Because I'm not like raising a red flag here on what we saw last night from Eflin. I just think he just didn't pitch well. And the thing that's interesting, he has like an arbitration case coming up in the middle of the season that he's pitching in. How weird is that?
What? Yeah, what are you talking about?
No, like his arbitration, you know, it's usually in the offseason.
Yeah, no, I've never, that's my point. Like, what do you, I've never heard of this. Yeah. That happens?
It's in May. It's coming up this month.
What?
So, yeah, he came in at six.
What?
Six and
this
a half.
This is a real thing?
Yeah, so he like, but also, can they not use?
I've literally never heard of this. Like, it's very rare that something related to baseball I've literally never knew was a thing. They do in-season arbitration?
No. But the only reason they're doing it is because of the lockout.
Oh, that makes, okay. Yes. I feel so much better. I was like, if I'm missing this my whole life, am I a total idiot? That makes so much, okay. Very, that's fascinating, dude. Like, that adds a whole nother layer to it. Like, you're pitching in the moment for money.
But that's my thing. Like, are they allowed to use the current results?
It's a great question.
Or are they only going off of what happened last year?
I would guess they have to go off what happened last year, right? I feel like they
would not be fair.
Yeah, it would not be fair because it's not his fault. Yeah, I think it would have to. But that is pretty wild. Just that's happening is wild.
Yeah. So he, but it is a contract year for Eflin. So that's something I think to buy in. I just don't think he pitched well last night. Like, stuff didn't look like he was moving well. And we've watched enough Zach Eflin starts. Like, he has five.
You could see it, dude. There was nothing swing and miss last night.
It looked like his heavy body started in Atlanta.
There was no nastiness. There was no bite. There was, you know, it wasn't dropping at all. Like, there was just, it was clearly something missing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not worried. I just think that we're going to get an Eflin stinker every once in a while. But I really do, like, it's weird. Gibson walked five guys, and I swear he pitched well. Like, I just, Gibson is pitching like a very, very good number five. And it's interesting heading into the Eflin start last night. I mean, they did 2.79 starters ERA since April 18th. Like, that's a pretty good stretch of games there. And if your starters ERA is in the 2.8 to 3.2 range, I mean, that's going to keep you in ball games, especially hopefully as the offense continues to find its footing here and doesn't get no hit by the Mets. But a 2.8 ERA since April 18th is a pretty good baseline for one of the parts of the team that people felt like was going to hold them back on a potential playoff run. The numbers would suggest that they're not pitching that bad.
All right. Like 25, 27, 28 minutes into this, whatever it is.
Right.
Go ahead, buddy. Schwarber.
Ah, dude. I mean, isn't it crazy that he has the third highest slugging percentage in history against the Mets? Like, that is,
that's actually insane.
It's ridiculous. So it's just so funny, you know, growing up, it was Burrell's the Mets killer. And it was so funny every time, like, he would hit a homer off of Wagner and he'd be like, Mets fans must have hated him. And then Utley comes along. Literally, they open up a new stadium, and everyone refers to the right field line as Utley's corner, like the right field foul pole in the Met stadium. And it looks like Schwarber is ready to assume the next generation of Met killers, which is just hilarious. Like, Mets fans last night on Twitter were like begging for them to stop pitching to him. It was ridiculous. We're talking about Kyle Schwarber, who was hitting like 160 heading into the game, and Mets fans were begging them not to pitch to him. Like, that's called real estate. It's a different level of real estate. So it's crazy. Like, his OPS is already back to like 840.
He's like third in the league in homers.
Dude, he's second.
He's up there.
Second most home runs in the NL.
Real quick, not to go past it. Did you see the actual home run numbers against the Mets?
No.
In 36 career games, he has hit 16 home runs against the Mets. I mean, that's like, what is that? That's insane. So just for reference sakes, most home runs in their first career 36 games against the Mets. 16 for Kyle Schwarber is the most in history. Two other people have 15. You ready for this?
Willie Mays.
Yeah, you saw this. Willie McCovey.
Yeah.
About it.
Pretty good. Pretty good. So I mean,
those two guys get to be on the list with Schwarber. That's elite company for them.
I'm sure they're honored. I need to see it against someone else though before I'm like fully declaring him back. Like he can't just be the Mets killer. We got a 4-game set heading into this weekend, so
yeah,
I could use it.
He could be the Mets killer this week. That's
yeah.
For sure.
So but yeah, I mean, I actually looked it up today. Also since April 18th, I mean, he's batting .280 with a 400 OBP and an 1100 OPS. So. Which is good. No, I'm sorry. That's not true. His last 13 games. So last 13 games, .280, .400, .1100 OPS. So he's currently on pace for 49 home runs. And it's the funniest part about Schwarber, James, is I loathe Joey Gallo as a baseball player. And mm-hmm. It turns out that my favorite Philly now is basically just NL Joey Gallo. But screw it. Dingers, baby. Dingers. No, it's good.
He'll hit over 200. Bold prediction: Kyle Schwarber will hit over 200.
So, but in all seriousness, like, I why is he not back in the leadoff spot?
Because Joe Girardi is a horrible man.
I mean, 5 games in, they gave up on the leadoff spot thing. He's finally. I mean, I guess
he only paid him $80 million.
He's only brought in to be the leadoff hitter. You know,
$80 million.
Whatever. Whatever. It's clear.
I hate Joe Girardi.
Well, it's just clear that Girardi.
I actually actively dislike him. Like Jack, you know, you'll want it. I don't know if everyone out there understands. Like I this is crazy. I actually think and it's probably just because no offense to the Sixers, care more about the Phillies than I care about the Sixers. But I think I hate him more than I hate Doc Rivers now. That's how far it's gone with Joe Girardi. I think I like Doc more.
Wow. Well, at least Doc's won a playoff series here.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
Back to back years of winning playoff series. Now, he's not as insulting to the fan base, but at least he shows up.
I feel
up.
Like at least Doc Rivers, he might make the wrong decisions, but at least he's paying attention to what's happening.
Well, it's
at least if I asked Doc Rivers after the game, hey, what happened in the game you just coached, I think he could tell me. I don't know if Joe could tell me.
Well, you know what else I don't get about the Schwarber leadoff thing is that, like, so if you weren't going to make him the leadoff hitter, then why'd you sign him? You know, like... It was Joe Girardi not on board with him being a leadoff hitter, so then why would you sign him? So just go down there and override the manager. I mean, other teams
do it all
the time.
That's what I don't get. Jack, honestly, and my guess is that it's because it's Joe Girardi.
And he got off
like a baseball man, and Dabrowski is a respectful baseball guy or whatever. But I honestly, I am shocked. I am shocked that the front office did not say, yo, bro. No way. You out of your mind? It's been 5 games. We gave this guy $1 million to be our leadoff hitter. Like, enough. All right. Like, I'm shocked. There are a lot of organizations would have done that.
It shows how much, like, how much power Girardi does have. I mean, honestly,
yeah.
It shows how much power.
I also just think it's Dabrowski. Like, I think Dabrowski's more of an old school guy like that, a trust his manager, a let his manager go out and make decisions type of guy, all that type of stuff. And that's just conjecture, but that's my guess. Because, the Rays, the Dodgers, all those type of teams, like, that decision is made from the top. That's not the manager's decision.
Well, and also, like, Dave Dombrowski did watch Alex Cora win a World Series for him. Like, he knows he should know what great managers do. And, if Alex Cora was comfortable putting Schwarber at the leadoff spot last year for the Rays and Chaim Bloom Red Sox, then Chaim Bloom was, then, hey, Joe, maybe we should put him at the leadoff spot. And you know our guy, Ani Colombi, wants him in the leadoff spot. There's a whole story by Gelb in The Athletic today about how he's basically been influential in their shifts. And the shift actually burned them a good amount of times last night.
It did, yeah. It wasn't great. Today's probably not the day to bring up the shift.
I know, but... I do like that. I like that they're experimenting with Boehm over on the second base side. It's been interesting. I feel like I might be teetering on watching a smart baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why you would ever move Bohm from anywhere near the third base area. He's such a shutdown defender at third. I mean, why would you even mess with anything?
Which is more surprising? Which is more surprising? Ranger pitching to a 1-5 as a starter last year, or Alec Bohm not making an error at third base since
just not making an error, but like he's making the routine plays, but he's making some of the tougher ones too. Like he's charging on balls and throwing and like, you know, making plays, beating some fast guys here and there. It's astounding.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably Ranger being like one of the five best pitchers in baseball last year. I mean, that's asinine.
Yeah. He's the best. And he hasn't even begun to heat up yet for this baseball team. Yep. So
pitching's going to, as we all said, pitching is going to carry this team where they need to go, Jack.
Yep. Just like 08.
All right, let's get into the take bag. I'm sure you got a lot coming.
I don't have.
Wow.
Because I wanted to do a whole thing on the Mets crying, but I brought that up earlier. Like, it's just, dude, no one cares about the Mets. Like, this team's been put together in the last couple of years, and there's no long history of them being like villains in Major League Baseball. Like, just stop. I mean, the whole everyone's throwing at us. No, they're not. I mean, I'm so sick and like, they did not hit Francisco Lindor on purpose last night. So, by the way, are you a fan of players being mic'd up during the games?
Yes. So, like, on a basic level, yes. I think it's super entertaining to watch. So just as a pure fan, I think it's fun to watch. I understand the player in me is like, it's pretty annoying if I were a player, and Lindor is unique, but if I were a player, I probably wouldn't love doing it like all game. It seems like a lot. But I think, you know, where I come down overall as a whole is that I might have a few issues with how it's orchestrated in the moment at times, but on the whole, like get the stars out there, get people to know the stars,
yep.
People with good personalities, put them out there. So on the whole, I'm very pro it because I do think the sport needs to do more stuff like that.
I agree. And I think the belly aching about, this is
enough
like,
already.
Come on. Nah. Yeah, first off, it's good for everyone involved. It shows a player's personality and gives you inside the game. Like, dude, Francisco Lindor turned a double play last night.
It was really cool.
While he was mic'd up.
It was really cool to watch. As you're watching, especially how casual he was about it, too. It was very cool.
Yeah, so I like it. I mean, the questions are weird. Like Ravage talking about, hey, you struck out again. How'd that make you feel?
It's a lot. Like, it's really like they really keep him going the whole time. It's like, all right, man, like, can you get an inning off?
Well, especially when Ravage was like, hey, you going to stay with us while you go on the field? He's like, nah, I got to get out there. I love that. Bryce didn't have an excuse because he was DH-ing.
You could tell it a certain way. I think Bryce was being very nice, but I think a certain way he was like, all right, guys, can we take it easy here?
Give me a half inning.
Just a little break. Lindor is, it is a shame that that after a disaster year last year, Francisco Lindor is back to being Francisco Lindor. That is incredibly disappointing.
Yeah, well, I love Lindor. So
me too.
Yeah, it's tough.
You know, he was like one of my three favorite players in the sport until he got traded to the Mets.
Yeah. Well,
you know, shame.
Is what it is.
My two favorite guys were always Lindor and Bregman. And then the last 2 years, they both got ruined for me. So
yeah.
Awesome.
Well, Bregman's a big cheater. So.
I know. That's what I just said. They got ruined for me. All right.
You know how I've been like cautious about, you know, wanting to be all in on Brad Hand? Dude, I don't know, man.
Yes, honestly, yeah, I do, because it's literally the only time you've ever been cautious about being all in on a Phillies.
Well,
yes,
because, like, I definitely thought he was cooked last year. And then they signed his offseason. I was like, nah, definitely a bad idea. And then I was pretty like, all right, this is going to not work out well. But him last night, like, his slider hasn't moved that much since the heyday of Brad Hand. So, tentatively, I'm all in on Brad Hand. But I'm keeping one foot out the door in case I need to jump off the Brad Hand hype train. So that gives the Phillies on most nights. Again, it's bullpen. It's all that stuff. I get it. But on most nights, Knebel, Seranthony, Familia, and Hand are going to get the job done. And it's been a while since we've had that kind of back of the bullpen. Familia has been shaky recently, but that's kind of what he is. And if you're getting this version of Brad Hand. It just ups the level up. And then you add in like a James Norwood to that and then Nick Nelson. It's a pretty good six. It's a pretty good six. Alvarado gives me a heart attack every time he's out there.
I hate watching. It's not fun.
No, I'm
out. We're all excited. We're like, oh, 100 miles. This is so fun. No. Yeah, and like you said, pitching ninja, really with those like, you know, like
it's all his
the four seamer. The ball like comes in and just disappears. Like the catcher even loses it because it's so fast.
Oh, and last night they're getting mixed up on pitch com.
Yeah, all that stuff. Like, I was so excited, and it's horrible. Like, I hate watching him.
Oh,
He is my least favorite pitcher in our game.
Yeah.
I hate it. Yeah,
it's not a fun experience. I mean, he'll throw, like, the 192 mile an hour slider that's like, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
And then everything else is just like...
Yeah, again, you know what he is, Jack? We should have realized he's a perfect pitching ninja guy. He can... That one sick, ridiculous pitch, those two ridiculous pitches can be encapsulated in GIF form on Pitching Ninja, and we don't have to watch the rest of the disaster start that breaks our heart.
Yes. That is the official position of the High Hopes podcast.
By the way, Brad Hand was on my perfect all season. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I probably said he was cooked then.
You did. Yeah. You did. I'm looking. I just pulled it up just to make sure that I'm not. I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 relivers on my list that have, you know, picked any of these guys. Corey Knebel and Brad Hand. They're both here.
Yeah. Well, you were right. You are a genius when it comes to baseball, and I am just a big old idiot. Big old friggin' idiot.
That's what I was fishing for, so thank you.
Two more things before I got a top five for you.
Top five, yeah.
Why do you say it like that? Sounds like do you not like the segment?
I love it.
No, but you said that like, stupid.
It was just funny. I think it's funny that you're so obsessed with top fives.
Yeah, well, I came up with it while doing this podcast. So that's called being talented, Val.
Yeah.
Andrew Painter has now struck out 48 of 66 outs as a minor leaguer. And I will say, I know people are going to say, oh, you can't be in on Andrew Painter because after last year at the draft, you said, you know, that's not the guy you would have drafted. The category that I put Andrew Painter in was would not be excited about, but would definitely talk myself into. So that's a pretty fair assessment of where I'm at with Andrew Painter now. And now I'm pretty much ready to get him into the show. So I am now officially an Andrew Painter guy. I think he is going to be remarkable. And Mick Abel, Griff McGarry, and Andrew Painter are by far the best pitching prospects this team has like ever had. The baby aces. It's like this dwarfs the baby aces of 2011 or whatever. Like Trevor May and Pettibone and Cosart. I mean, these guys have actual talent. Like. Real talent. So it's exciting that we actually have blue chippers in the system now, James. Like, I know it's been a while, but shout out to Brian Barber and his staff.
The patron saint of the High Hopes podcast, yes. Brian Barber.
I mean, how much?
By the way, we haven't, he's the best. We haven't talked enough, though, about how when you go through those three names, I mean, we're talking about three top tier, not even home run, like grand slam name test guys. I mean, Griff McGarry, obvious. You don't even need to say it. Mick Abel, obviously.
Superstar.
Andrew Painter for a pitcher? I mean, wow.
I know.
Just top tier stuff there.
I agree. It's really, really exciting. So good place to be at. And my final thing before again, the top five here.
Before your other final thing.
Yeah, before my other final thing and my final thought after that. is like, I still feel good about the baseball team. Like, I know this weekend was frustrating, and I know Girardi, we spent the whole first 20 minutes saying, like, he's not the guy, and it's frustrating, and we would move on from him, and he's if you don't want to be here, then just leave. But I still feel good about the team. If you look at all the numbers, everything that bears out, I know watching it can be a different story, but it feels like a run's coming, James. I do believe that. And I think there's going to be like a 2-week stretch where it's like, all right, there they are. You know, and the thing I've learned the most so far this season is, like, you can bring in all the hitters that you want, but the idea that they're all going to hit at the same time is just a tad far-fetched, and they're not. I mean, that's the nature of the beast that is Major League Baseball. So I genuinely do feel good about where the team is at. I know they're one game under 500. I know Girardi can be frustrating, but I keep coming back to that there's too much talent here. And the fact that Bohm is in the seven hole hitting where how he is, you have a guy like Johan Camargo who can fill in at shortstop and hit a ball like 450 in the ninth last night. Like, they have enough pieces here that's not just the first six in the lineup. You know, it's frustrating that the leadoff spot this year is batting like 132. I'd say it's around the 130s, which is insane, and something they can't seem to get right. But you know, I genuinely believe a run is coming. I haven't given up on this baseball team, and I just, you know, I can't let Joe Girardi overshadow my genuine feel that they're gonna go on a run here and everything's gonna be okay.
Yeah, they fired Girardi. They'll go on a run. I think you're right. It's well said.
Hey. Jim Leland, 77.
Hey, I'll take him. I would take a 70. Look, Buck Showalter, prove me wrong. Way to go, Buck. Go out and get him, buddy.
Yeah, although we could use a nice Mets collapse here soon enough.
Yeah, I honestly, when you were talking there, I was literally thinking with you, like, totally agree. I'm in on this baseball team. They're going to be fine. They're going to figure it out. They need time to gel together, all these guys to get to know each other, to learn to win, all that stuff, hopefully fire Girardi. Honestly, I'm not as concerned at all about the Phillies as I am concerned the Mets are actually pretty good. Like, that's my bigger takeaway. Yeah. It's not, oh, I'm worried about the Phillies. It's the Mets are real. And they're still the Mets, and they can Mets it up at any moment. But Mets are a good baseball team.
That they are. The top five. Top five worst things I've watched as a Phillies fan. Off of Friday night, watching get fake no hit.
You could fit it in five, really?
I know. Well, believe me, I left off some haymakers, but these are the first five that came to mind. Number five, Hector in L.A. Back to back.
I remember where I was.
So do I.
When I saw that, yeah.
I think we were together. I don't think we were doing the podcast yet.
No, we weren't. Yeah. It was just horrible.
I think that was around the Eagles draft, maybe. I know
it
Nolan.
It was a little more summery. Well, I think it was a little more into the summer.
It was the same night Nolan Patrick got drafted, so I know that.
Yeah, so like June, yeah. I think, is right.
Yeah. Number four is the day before I am scheduled to fly out to Chicago for my bachelor party, Jason Hayward hit a walk-off grand slam.
Oh! Adam Morgan.
Yes, the first time in Jason Hayward's scrub career, he was caught up to 96 on the hands, was off of Adam Morgan. And that was because earlier in the game, Dylan Cousins hit a home run. And I was like, oh, maybe there's something here. Gave the Phillies the lead late. And then the Hayward grand slam happened and it all went to ruins.
It's pretty sad that they used Jason Hayward. I'm like, Adam Morgan. And we're like, yo, we remember that. Like, it's so sad.
We remember lives, exactly where we were.
Yeah. Our lives have been really sad as baseball fans the last few years.
Anyway, I produced that game. I remember that very vividly. Yeah. Speaking of another game I produced, how about the Mets 20-4 win?
The
first game of a doubleheader on a Sunday. Kingery came in and pitched. And it was during an Eagles game because I had to produce the game on PHT, and having to sit there through a doubleheader in which the first game they lost 20-4 or something like that, and Kingery is pitching the last inning, just the worst. I mean, absolutely the worst.
It's horrifying. It was horrifying.
The second worst game I've watched as a Phillies fan is having to watch an absolutely cooked Josh Beckett throw a real no-hitter against this team.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Beckett no-hitter? It's like, I remember leaving. It was like probably 2014, 2015.
Something
around there. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, what is the point of even continuing to follow this baseball team? Josh Beckett can't pitch anymore. And him throwing a no-hitter against this team was just awful.
Yeah, I'm very with you now.
And the worst game I've watched as a Phillies fan, I will still remember exactly where I was. I don't want to blame Glenn Mack now, but I was at the I was at the Contract and Brewing Company. 19-11, Phils Marlins. Yeah. I mean, they're up early. Velasquez
Friday
blows
night,
it.
Right? It was only like a Friday night, I think.
Awful. Just straight up awful.
I hate that game with like every fiber of my being.
There's so many though. Like I know I left off.
Dude,
I
could have left 15 games. You could have mentioned.
I could have put Colorado in 2018 on there.
Oh, for sure. The Wilmer Defoe game. Remember that one?
David Hale to Trevor Story.
Dave. Oh, absolutely. That could. Yeah, really. That whole Rockies series in 2018. All three of those games could go on there. Like in a sec. What is it? 14-2 the one game or whatever.
Getting swept out by the Nationals, who were one of the worst teams in baseball in like 2019 to take them out of 2020 to take them out of the postseason run. Like all they had to do was win one game the rest of the year. I think they lost five straight in Washington to a team that had given up at that point. So
oh yeah, buddy.
Yeah, there's
God, there's so many.
There's so many.
What a sad
Hector.
Sad
Hector type. In
Hector. Yeah, just Hector. Like yeah. How many? 10 Hectors. I can think of 10 Hectors.
Oh well, the freaking the ball last year that JT called a slider for instead of a splitter. Well,
how about the Padres game? The Jake Cronenworth homer was that last year? I mean, that's like 53rd on the list, and that was like soul crushing in the moment.
Felt nothing. I felt
I know.
Absolutely
it's like
nothing.
It's like, what? Nothing. Are you kidding me? I can watch that game 1,000 times.
No, that's what I'm saying, man. Like watching them on Friday night. Like people are melting down on text messages and Twitter, and I was saying to myself, I've seen this a million times. Like, relax, this is nothing.
Yeah, I think it's just the embarrassment of it, and especially the Mets. Ooh, Buck Showalter suspended.
See ya.
How about this? Ready? Buck Showalter. Hold on, Jim Nance warnings and everything. News: Mets manager Buck Showalter has been suspended for tonight's game as a result of what the MLB deemed Yoan Lopez intentionally throwing at Kyle Schwarber. Lopez has also been suspended 3 games. So let's just end the pod with that to wrap it around the way we were. So baseball, Major League Baseball, thought it was so clear that the Mets were targeting Kyle Schwarber that they suspended Buck Showalter, and Alec Bohm got hit in the back after that happened, and Joe Girardi sat on his ass. Oh, my God. All right. I can't believe it.
Yep.
Give me Buck Showalter. I would kill for Buck Showalter right now.
Wow, what a place to be at as a fan base.
I can't. I 5 years ago, I would have said I'd rather die than be in that place. Jack, who knew?
Yes, it's. Who knew? Do you think? Do you think Joe Girardi's appealing Buck Showalter's suspension?
Yes. Oh, that was. All right, we gotta end. That was the best line any of us left by far. All right, what else? You got any final thoughts or anything before
we
get out of here?
But I am tweeting that.
You should, dude, tweet that right now. That is pure gold before anyone hears it. We'll be back. High Hopes Analytics. Just follow the analytics. You'll know when we're back. My final thought is fire Drow. I might shake that my final thought every pod moving forward. Yeah, just fire
fun
Drow.
Play. We're officially back when we want either the manager or the GM fired. Used to be Klentak and McVail.
Yeah.
Now we're at Girardi. Good
hey,
to be,
he's the
good
last
to be back.
Remnants of that era.
Uh-huh. He is. Uh-huh. Yep.
You know, you get rid of him. Clean slate. How about that? All right. We'll talk to you guys soon. He's Fritz himself.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow. Your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom. Car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really. Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom!
One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?